Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Serge Leduc to the broadcast. Serge is currently the Chief Information Officer of Canadian National Railway. Serge has gone through a transformation at CN, taking the company from a federated IT structure to a more homogeneous one around business engagement, applications management and delivery, infrastructure and telecommunications, and planning and strategy. Prior to joining CN, Serge held various senior positions for Canadian and UK-based organizations, including Alliance Forest Products and British American Tobacco. At British American Tobacco, his responsibilities included implementing SAP and global supply chain management solutions in various countries around the world. And also, he ran a major enterprise infrastructure program. I recently caught up with Serge in his office in Montreal, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as we discussed the way in which Serge attracts and retains talent at Canadian National, Principle 2, Infrastructure, as we discussed the Internet of Things and his plans for integrating systems into large networks of partnerships currently in place, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as Strategic Facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Serge Leduc, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you very much.
Well, Serge, you are the Chief Information Officer of Canadian National Railway, and I wonder if you could take a moment just to talk a bit about your role and your plans for the use of technology at that company.
So my role as a CIO of the company, I am responsible to ensure the operation, the IT operations of this company, because this is a 24/7 operation. Because CN is a freight, it's not in a passenger, so it's only freight business, and we have a network across North America covering Canada from east to west and covering the states from north to south. So from the west coast to the east coast of Canada and from Chicago to New Orleans, we have a network, and we are moving, $250 billion of goods across North America. And our operations rely heavily on information systems for the all the order, all the back office stuff, and all the what I would call more the industrial IT, which is all the sensors, when we refer to the Internet of Things. So CN has heavily invested over the years in technology in order to make sure that we had a safety operation. So a lot of investment in BI, a lot of investment in operational systems, and a lot of investment in order to support our growth, because our business model has evolved significantly over the years, going from a hub-to-hub type of company now to a more customer service focus in order to improve the first mile and the last mile of our operation. So a lot of investment are made in our company in order to support this business transformation.
It's interesting, Serge, you mentioned the network that you have put together, the network across Canada, certainly within CN, the network you have in the U.S., as you mentioned, from Chicago to New Orleans, the network which must include various trucking companies for the first mile and last mile, some of whom, by the way, are also competitors of yours, as sort of a co-opetition, I suppose, that you have with certain kinds of companies. As you think about the systems integration and the data integration that's necessary to make sure that you're serving customers well, it seems like quite a complex web in order to get that right. Can you talk a bit about how your approach to sorting out the tracking of goods and ensuring that the data is shared across this ecosystem that you've built?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. The company has invested a lot in a real-time tracking system in order to know where the locomotives were and the overall state of the network. And now we're trying to, I would say, extend that to our intermodal business and the trucking business, because this is where I would say the name of the game will be. Because all the investment that have been done over the last 20, 25 years in the industry were more targeting the rail portion of the business. But now, with the growth that we are seeing in intermodal and supply chain solution, which is all the services that we can provide to our customer in order to have an end-to-end service offering, we are investing, and we will need to invest even more in that space in order to cover the full integration of the services that we are providing to our customers.
You mentioned a topic that's on the lips and minds of many people these days in the technology industry, the Internet of Things. And I think, just as you say, that yours is a great example of an organization who has been thinking about that for some time, whether it applies to, you know, the moving and tracking of goods, whether it applies to the safety of the people who work for your railroad and the safety of others who are interacting with it in various ways. Can you talk a bit about your approach or your strategy for the Internet of Things and how to bring that to life?
So we're having roughly around 5,000 cellular lines where we are really capturing information. And now I would say the next step is in order to extract the intelligence from that information. So this is why we have I would say, a large business intelligence group, and we are building those models, and we are investing in capabilities in order, instead of being with analyzing information after the fact, we're trying to switch from a before the fact, after the fact, to be predictive in order to see patterns, in order to increase our safety record, and making sure that we are leveraging all this information that we are capturing from all those sensors across our network.
I know, Serge, that you were new to the industry when you joined CN. You joined in April of 2013. You did so as a senior director within the IT department. It was later that year that you ascended to the role of chief information officer. This was after having spent time in consulting and the pulp and paper business, a stretch in British American Tobacco. But as you were learning a new industry and, of course, a new company, a new culture, how did you go about in those early days to prepare yourself, and especially to prepare yourself to eventually rise to the role of chief information officer?
I would say that I've been using the same approach in the pulp and paper and the retail industry with BAT, as well as with CN, because my background being an information architect, a data modeler, I always look and assess that I would say the state of a company based on, to look at it from the information angle. So to understand very well the company strategy, the growth plan of the company, and making sure that we have the right information in order to support the evolution of our operating model. So like I described before, our operating model evolving a lot from a pure rail company to more we're not a logistic company, but more and more our service offering is extending beyond the rail. And we needed to make sure that we had the right information in order to support our evolution. And this is always the angle that I'm taking in order to assess if we have the right capabilities in order to support our growth and the evolution of our operating model, and bridging the gap between the strategy and the information systems. Because there's always some gaps in any companies, and we want to make sure that we are aligning our investment with the strategies of the company. And this is the discussion that we're having with the C-suite in order to make sure that we're having the right capabilities to support our growth.
You know, Serge, it must have been quite a change for you to, as you came into this company, an industry, generally speaking, that's nearly 200 years old, an industry that has tremendous fixed assets, the rails themselves, for instance, and the right-of-way associated with those that, again, in some cases date back well over 100 years. It's not as though you and I could split off and develop a true competitor to CN in a garage somewhere, unlike perhaps other kinds of technology businesses, for instance. And so the competitive dynamics of this space are probably very different from what you had experienced in other organizations. Can you talk a little bit about how you familiarize yourself with the specifics of this industry as opposed to past ones that you've been involved in?
I would say twofold to my answer. The first one being, I would say from an operational point of view, I see a lot of similarities between the pulp and paper industry and the transportation, the CN industry, and I will explain why. You talk about asset-driven, so pulp and paper, asset-driven, and where the difference is always your how good you are at operating and your operating ratio. So it was the same in pulp and paper. It's the same focus here in at CN. So to make sure that our productivity is getting better and better, that we can, I would say, support this growth at low incremental cost. And those were, I would say, roughly the same parameters in the pulp and paper industry. So for this, I see a lot of similarities. In terms of the competition, this I agree, it's very different because there was a lot more competition in the pulp and paper industry or in the retail business. But what makes, I would say, the difference in our industry is our efficiency at operating the network, and this is where the focus is. And the other aspect, which is getting more and more important, is on the service side. And this is why CN is investing significantly in order to improve its first mile, last mile, door-to-door services, because this is where we will be able to capture business from, I would say, our competitors. And of course, there's less competitors in that industry. There's two major players in Canada. There is four major players in the States. But I would say when you look at the size of this industry, if you can capture, I would say, and improve your service in order to capture business from your competitor, it is getting, I would say, a huge value on our bottom line. And this is where we're focusing right now.
Can you talk a bit about your past experiences at BAT? I know a very formative experience for you, one in which you were a chief information officer over different parts of the organization, different regions as well. It's work that took you to the UK, to Eastern Europe, back to Canada. Can you talk a little bit about your experience at British American Tobacco and the methods that you learned there that you continue to use today at CN?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say what I've learned the most is when you are investing in business transformation, never underestimate change management. Especially in a global environment like BAT, the way you have to approach change, manage change, is different from culture to culture. And depending where you are investing in your industry, you need to manage change with a different perspective, I would say. And this is where I've learned, I would say, a lot with BAT in order to adapt your change management strategy based on culture, based on your environment, based sometimes on even the economical factor of a region and everything. And this is something which is very, very, I would say, where I've learned the most with BAT. Of course, because at the end, a project is a project. And in the retail industry, the manufacturing industry, or in the transportation business, I would say the basic components of a project are the same. But what is always different is the culture of the company and the way you approach change. And I would say that this is what was the most, I would say, the biggest learning that I've made with BAT.
You also spent considerable time as a consultant, both with Capgemini, with EY. And I wonder, I have found through my many interviews and interactions and advising a variety of CIOs, for those who have consulting backgrounds, I have found that problem solving becomes more part of an area of comfort and an area of expertise for them, that dealing with uncertainty, targeting and developing analysis, leading teams to do so, that these become kind of the hallmarks of the consultative CIO. And I wonder if you could, first of all, let me know if you agree with these hypotheses, but also reflect upon your time as a consultant and the advantages of your time spent in that field now as a chief information officer.
I totally agree, Peter, with what you're saying, because I would say that the foundation of the knowledge that I have today, I have acquired it with the consulting business, because the amount of knowledge and experience and expertise that you get with those big firms because of the way they manage knowledge, and you can always have access to someone or a paper that will help you in order to face, address, or sometimes just sound check some ideas about the way you would approach a certain specific business problem. And this has been an incredible asset for me. And at the beginning of my career as well, all the structure that they provided from a to build master plan and information systems, to learn about data architecture, and to learn about those basic concepts and to apply them in a real environment, because I had the opportunity to make mandate within the utility business with Hydro-Québec and the transportation business with Transport Canada, more on the airline side of transportation in Canada, and the amount of knowledge that you acquired and being supported by a very senior people in those consulting company, this is a tremendous asset for that I've been leveraging my entire career.
I wonder what methods you use, as IT in some ways is a game that requires replenishment of the staff to find new blood who have more recent experiences with new technologies, whose studies are recent enough that they are anticipating the use of new technology perhaps in older settings. How have you thought about attracting and retaining great talent and replenishing that talent as a CIO, perhaps across your experiences, but obviously most relevantly today at CN?
We have two major challenges at CN. First, the fact that our core system are still old mainframe systems. So we need to make sure that we are replenishing our workforce in order to be able to support our environment. And surprisingly, we still can find some younger talent that are interested in learning those technologies. And sometimes they don't necessarily come from, I would say, Canada. We've been hiring people coming from other parts of North America or Europe who were interested in learning those old technologies. And we are leveraging partners in order to give us the resources that we need in order to fulfill our requirements in that space. From a new technology point of view, I would say that it's relatively easy for CN to attract new talent, because with all the investment that we're making in stuff such as we spoke about it, the machine-to-machine stuff, the analytics, and the new technologies, because now we are largely an in-house company, only the back office stuff is leveraging SAP, but we're developing a lot of application with new technologies, and it's very easy. We are a very good employer for young talent in Canada because of the diversity of technology that we have, and I would say the state-of-the-art functionality or system that we are developing in terms of real-time, and it's very attractive. So we don't have it's very easy to attract new talent with SCM.
Serge, for those who are familiar with the industry, they may be familiar with positive train control, also referred to as PTC, which is a system of functional requirements for monitoring and controlling train movements, something that has been mandated by government regulation, but I know something that you and your peers are spending a lot of time figuring out. I wonder if you could just briefly talk about that initiative and maybe some of the ancillary benefits that are coming from your focus on it.
As you mentioned, rightly mentioned, the entire industry is spending billions of dollars in order to implement PTC. And the reason for PTC was in order to improve safety and make sure that a major accident like it happened in California in 2008 will never happen again, which is the right thing to do. But I'm convinced that the PTC infrastructure and all the backbone that we're building in order to support PTC will be a major asset in order to build on, in order to create capabilities that will help us in order to improve, advance the railroad operation, you know, because the technology, the real-time technology that this will provide, we will be able to use it for other meaning that only the safety one, and I am convinced that this will represent a world of opportunities in order to advance railroad operations for the future.
I want to also talk to you about technology trends more generally speaking. We've spoken about several of them, whether it's analytics, the Internet of Things, BI as a portion of the analytics conversation. Are there other trends or maybe a deeper analysis of some of these very ones we've already begun to talk about? As you think a year, two, 3 years out, which trends do you think are going to be particularly meaningful across the business environment and more specifically at CN?
Me, I would say, is the predictive analytics stuff, where I believe that there's so much value there, and we are not extracting the value that we could get from all the information that we are capturing along our network. So I really believe that this will be a game changer, and to improve safety, to improve our operations, because with the growth in that industry, our network is becoming more and more congested, and we will rely more and more on technology in order to optimize, I would say, the flow of our trains. And I strongly believe that a combination of analytics, combination of real-time information will really drive the future of this company. I'm pretty convinced that this is a major change that will impact this industry over the next many years.
Serge Leduc, thank you so much for taking time today to tell us a bit about the practices that you have used to make you the executive you are today and joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a very good conversation.
Thank you very much, Peter.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.